This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
8:30 in the morning, you're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Shazana Mokhtar with Wang Xiaoning and Chong Jen Sun. Now we're entering the third day post-GE15 with negotiations still ongoing to form the next federal government. The two biggest coalitions, Perikatan Nasional and Pakatan Harapan, are racing to build their numbers to cross the 112 threshold of MPs needed to claim majority in Parliament.
According to Dato' Sri Anwar Ibrahim yesterday, Pakatan Harapan is working to form a unity government with Barisan Nasional for the country's stability. All eyes were on the PH and BN talks at the Hotel Sri Pacific yesterday and the subsequent meeting of the BN Supreme Council in the evening. However, BN is yet to give a firm decision amidst reports of internal discord within UMNO over a deal with PH.
On the other side, PN Secretary General Datuk Hamza Zainuddin yesterday said that PN submitted more than 112 statutory declarations to Istana Negara. Previously, Gabungan Parti Sarawak head Tan Sri Abang Johari said that it would support a coalition with PN, NBN and GRS, but came into question after BN Chair Zahid Hamidi refuted news of any pact and after Barisan Nasional Sabah indicated that it would abide by the Central Committee decision. There's also been reportedly pushback internally from those unhappy with GPS teaming up with PAS at the federal level.
The Yang di-Pertuan Agong has extended a deadline to inform the Palace of the coalition agreement until 2 p.m. today. Will we have a resolution by then? To help us unpack the unfolding developments, we have with us Dr. Francis Hutchinson, Senior Fellow at the ICES Yusof Ishak Institute. Francis, good morning. Thanks very much for joining us. Let's start with what's happening at the federal level on the Pakatan Harapan front. Datuk Sri Anwar Ibrahim is confident of forming government with Barisan Nasional. Is this the outcome that you see happening?
Good morning, everybody. Yeah, I don't know about outcome, but let's say that I see that there's some issues here. Mm. And I think particularly I see it as a conundrum for Pakatan Harapan. Mm. So while, of course, they get the top prize of federal power, I think that there are a number of issues. So the first is for PH, I think it's going to be really difficult for their supporters to accept. You know, they campaigned on a platform of good governance and anti-corruption. And now they're teaming up with an UMNO-led Barisan Nasional that is unrepentant and has undergone no internal reform since their 2018 defeat. And actually, you know, its campaign message was returning to power and returning to kind of the old way of doing things. Certain PN leaders, notably Zahid Hamidi, don't poll well and were a liability in this past election. So I see that, you know, the legitimacy of the coalition would be doubtful. Mm-hmm. Second, I think that there are cultural issues at play. BN is so used to being in power that it's very sensitive over perceived slights and issues of status. You can recall the complaints over cabinet positions, mandatory bizarre positions between Bersatu and UMNO that plagued the Muhyiddin Yassin administration. So I would expect these sorts of issues to be very, very long and fraught. And then last, I think that BN itself is divided. And it has one camp in favor of cooperating with PH and another against it. And now the camp in favor of cooperation is led by Zahid Hamidi. But we know that UMNO has to go to party elections within 6 months of this G. And I think it's a virtual certainty that Zahid will be challenged and very likely by someone that is PN friendly. Because if this pact happens, this is really going to be a very important, very a divisive internal issue. And so in the elections, if it happens and he loses, then the whole administration potentially could come tumbling down as a new party leader would actually bring all of his MPs out of government and cross the floor.
And Francis, just to build on what you said on the how it's difficult for the supporters to actually accept this. So what does a PH and BN corporation then do to their respective credibility, and how do you think they can then explain this to their supporters?
Yeah, this is the issue. How do you sell this to your supporters? If we go back in time, before the elections, you know, Perikatan Nasional was the outsider, and it was just, you know, unacceptable for PH to come to any sort of seat sharing agreement or, you know, an agreement that certain seats would not be contested by either party or both parties at the same time, so you don't split the protest vote. So this was taken to be unacceptable. But now this is a very different and I would say more extreme proposition. You're asking PH supporters to tahan an arrangement with BN. And the question is, at what price? Many people think that the whole push to hold elections and then the political instability that happened after that has really affected the country since 2020 has been first about Najib and now Zahid's court cases. And this is the question that everybody has in mind. You know, what is the price for this agreement? Now, it's of interest that when Anwar reported that he was pleased with the discussions, he specifically mentioned that the court cases were not discussed, which actually attests to the fact that this is something that everybody is asking.
Okay, I want to focus on Pakatan Harapan and the parties within that coalition. Now, I think Anwar Ibrahim took pains to show at the press conference the leaders of all these parties in the front seat at the table. But do you think there could be any fissures within the different coalition parties?
Yes. I mean, it's entirely possible that this would be an issue. But then we come to the issue that, let's say, right, there is a pact and you have 30 seats from BN, but you have other parties from within PH that leave, then again, the whole thing comes tumbling down. So I do think that, yeah, this is an internal matter that would be very, very difficult to resolve.
So looking at the issues with Pakatan Harapan, you identified a lot of the issues that they are going to be dealing with and they're going to have to be grappling with. But on the flip side, we do see the argument that I think what some people are saying is that the alternative to a PHBN government is worse than this proposition. How do you think this is being reconciled or debated on the broader space? How are these arguments coming to the front?
So, I mean, I guess it depends on what are your priorities and what do you see as a bigger issue. If you ask me personally, I would think that, propping up Barisan Nasional and a Barisan Nasional that has not undergone any type of reform is an issue. I think it is very necessary for the political system for it to undergo its own internal reform that is pending since the loss in 2018. Mm-hmm. So if you invite them in and you prop them up, then you are basically kicking the can down the road and you're not letting, I think, this internal cultural process that needs to take place in the party happen. Mm. And of course, we go back, you know, what is Barisan Nasional? It has been such a fixture of the country for six decades, and we have a structure where the party president has so much power. And as we saw in when push comes to shove, the party president actually had more power than the prime minister. And I think that this is a very important structural issue.
And Francis, how much of this is driven by the fact that for many, this could be Anwar Ibrahim's last chance to be prime minister?
Okay, so I do think that that is an issue for many, but the question is, you know, should that be an issue for the country? Mm. I think one of the messages coming out of the election this time around is that I think many voters are looking for a generational change. So we saw, of course, many towering figures of Malaysia's political scene, such as, you know, Mahathir Mohamad, as well as Tengku Razali Hamzah, being voted out. And we also have a situation where we have many more new voters coming onto the scene. And so while I think Reformasi is really important for a certain generation of people, that perhaps my age and a bit older, I think for many new voters, they would have either not been born or were very, very small in 1998. And so the issues that they think about and the way that they relate to politicians and the sort of things that they need, I think are different. So, this may be also a time for internal introspection in PH on this issue.
Francis, we're going to come back to you. We'll take a very quick break, but there's a lot more to discuss. We're speaking to Dr. Francis Hutchinson, Senior Fellow at the IC's Yusof Ishak Institute. It's 8:45 a.m. We'll be back after a few messages to continue the discussion on coalition politics in Malaysia, who will form the next government. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9. 8:47 in the morning. You're listening to The Morning Run with Shazana Shaoning and Jen Sun. We are discussing the political negotiations that are currently taking place to form the next government. On the line with us is Dr. Francis Hutchinson, Senior Fellow at the ICES Yusuf Ishak Institute, to give his thoughts on how everything is unfolding. Now, earlier we were focusing on Pakatan Harapan and the problems that they are going to encounter if they go into a pact with Barisan Nasional. Francis, can we take a look at what's happening within Barisan Nasional and what you think the considerations are within that group in deciding whether they are to form with Pakatan Harapan or Perikatan Nasional? Why would they choose PH over PN?
So I think it has to do with, I guess, relative position in power, right? So if they go with PH, then, you know, they would be potentially only two people in the coalition or two entities in the coalition, mm-hmm. because you have 82 and then 30, you have 112, and then perhaps you get a couple of additional MPs to come in and boost that a little bit. Should they go with PN, then, you know, it's more diluted. They're part of a bigger family. And I think also perhaps there's a reading, and here, of course, I'm hypothesizing, that PH is perhaps a little bit more willing to compromise on certain things, given some of the issues that you've mentioned before, that, you know, it could potentially be Anwar's last possibility of being prime minister. So that there could be more room for negotiation rather than with PN.
Okay, but we do know that BN and PH are coming to some form of agreement for Pahang and have already done so with regards to the Perak state government. So do you think this is an indicator of how they are actually going to work together at a federal level? And since they can do it at state level, it is possible then at the federal level?
It's possible, but I think that there's another dynamic here, and that is that Malaysian politics is becoming more multi-leveled, and there's more of a separation between national and state-level politics than previously. So while still relatively unusual, it's becoming more normal for you to have coalitions of one composition of power at the state level and another at the federal level. And one of the contributing factors is, of course, the more competitive nature of Malaysian politics, where the crushing dominance you saw in previous decades made these sorts of compromises unnecessary. Now they are. So it's also notable that the DAP stated that they have no problem with this sort of arrangement in Perak, which could also be an indication that they need to make a distinction between an arrangement at the state level and an arrangement at the federal level. And last, I think there's another consideration, which is that if you're BN and you are contemplating actually being in the opposition, you want to at least have some hold on some power at some level. So, you know, this agreement in Perak and then potentially in Pahang at least gives them say in two state governments. So in a way, it's kind of locking in kind of a fixed deposit and minimizing your losses.
And Francis, I'd just like to tap your expertise on GPS as well. They're obviously a very key component party in this whole deal as well. So is there a possibility that GPS could back out of the commitments to Tan Sri Muhyiddin and back a PH and BN coalition instead? There are reports that many GPS insiders are unhappy with Abang Joe's decision to side with a coalition that espouses extremist religious messaging.
So from a legal point of view, this is, yes, it's possible as parties, but not individual MPs, can shift their allegiance. And you're correct that there is unhappiness within East Malaysia over two issues. First, the coalition with PAS, with the agreement with PAS, and second, the rather top-down manner in which the coalition was forged. So East Malaysia has a different demographic from West Malaysia. And many people are unhappy with the arrangement with an Islamist party, which is very powerful within that coalition. And this is a different kettle of fish from a Barisan Nasional-led administration. However, Abang Joe, the leader of GPS, has made it very clear that he's not comfortable with a PH-led administration. There are several drivers for this. So traditionally, BN has kept out of Sarawak, allowing him more autonomy. In contrast, PH, particularly PKR and DAP, have been active in the state for a long time and have several MPs. So there's competition there. There have also been disagreements with between GPS and PH leaders during the Pakatan Harapan administration, particularly between the then finance minister Lim Guan Eng and Aban Jo, where the former finance minister said that Sarawak would go bankrupt within three years if they kept up with their level of spending. And last, GPS and BN are very used to working together, and presumably Bersatu's work culture is more similar to BN's than PH's would be.
Okay, let's stay on the topic of East Malaysia and focus our attention on GRS. Do you think that that coalition is at risk of falling apart?
Yes, and I think that this has to do with, on one side, allegiance to Bersatu, on another side, the influence of UMNO in that part of the country. So I think that, if you like, it's a microcosm of some of the bigger issues that we're seeing at the national level, that they're playing out at the state level.
Francis, I'd like to get your thoughts on Perikatan Nasional and what would happen if they end up forming the government. This is still a likelihood given everything that's at play. I'm wondering how you think will they be able to counter the perception that a government that has PAS with a strong control, that is antithesis to a multiracial Malaysia. Do you think that's something that a Perikatan Nasional government can overcome?
I don't know if it can overcome it, but it has to deal with it. But I think that they are very aware of this. And I think everyone was sort of thinking in the run-up to the election that Bersatu was the dominant party, particularly in the middle and the southern part of the country. Of course, when we look at the relative numbers, you can see, of course, that PAS has more, significantly more than Bersatu. But I think if we go back to the press statement that PN made, their kind of victory declaration at 2 or 3 in the morning the other night, you can see it was very clear that Muhyiddin Yassin is put forward as the prime ministerial candidate and PAS takes a backseat. So I think, and let's remember that Muhyiddin Yassin has been PM before. He has had to assemble cabinet positions with PAS. And at that point in time, if you remember, he was very, very careful as to what positions he gave them. I anticipate that going forward, should they be in power, you would still see him being the prime ministerial candidate. You would see them taking much more of a visible position. And I do think that the giving out of cabinet positions would be undertaken with equal care and scrutiny, which is not to say that people are going to be, or certain constituents are going to be happy with the eventual cabinet position. But certainly my point is that this is something they are aware of and will be making a lot of efforts to manage.
Francis, thank you very much for speaking with us. That was Dr. Francis Hutchinson, Senior Fellow at the IC's Yusof Ishak Institute, giving us his take on the political negotiations currently taking place and what the factors all the different coalitions could be considering as they decide who they want to partner with.
Yeah, oh my. I mean, I think, what can we say? It's been a real interesting, 72 hours?
Many hours.
Since we all voted last Saturday. I don't think anyone expected I knew it was going to be coalition government, but I didn't know it would be so messy to get to a solution. But whatever it is, by 2 p.m., we should know the answer. I'm sure there's lots of horse trading behind the scenes. It looks like an extremely tight race to get to the road to Putrajaya. So for me, I think it's going to be interesting if either way, whichever party or whichever coalition goes into a government, the reality is that we are facing a very polarized country. Now, which government is going to bring us back to the center to remind us of why we were founded in 1957? What are the priorities of the government to really bring change, right? We have some very serious structural issues facing this country. Is anyone going to really focus on that, or are we just going back to lots of politicking? with no solutions.
I think it's very, very important that all coalitions put out very strong statements and stands that they are in support of a multiracial Malaysia, and that any kind of ethnic or religious fear-mongering or hate speech, that's not to be tolerated. I think there are concerns that across social media we are seeing these kind of messages sprout up. Mm. It should be something that all leaders firmly put down. You know, there should be no tolerance of this kind of messaging.
And I think, you know, if you want to hear what our real problems, right, do listen to the podcast, our conversation with Dr. Nungsari Radi yesterday. It's entitled Get Back to Running the Country, Please. You can find that on our app or our website. And it's a real reminder what the government of the day, whichever it is, come to PM, needs to really focus on. Because the elections are over, let's get back to running the country.
Yeah, I think for Pakatan supporters, they'll probably be asking largely two questions. Is it better to actually team up with BN, or what is the alternative? And secondly, on the top of their minds, as what Francis had mentioned, what was really the price for this agreement? And although Datuk Sri Anwar Ibrahim came up to say that there was no mention on court cases, but I guess that remains to be seen.
Something that we are going to be keeping a close eye on for sure. It is coming up to 8:59 in the morning. We're heading into the 9 a.m. news bulletin, BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.